Welcome to the Truth, Lies, Shenanigans podcast. My co-host today, the lovely Gianni Storm, and the also lovely Robbie.
What's up? What's up, everyone?
Looking lovely today, Robbie. All right.
Beautiful.
We're talking marriage today. So I wanted to ask, what's the best wedding that you've ever been to?
Very nice. Well, I've only been to one wedding.
One wedding?
It was my aunt's wedding. Yes, when I was 11 years old. And
goodness.
I had to get more adult friends, more mature
friends.
Clearly. Yeah. Who value marriage. No, but it was cute. I thought it was a beautiful arrangement. It made me cry at the time. It was cute. Everybody was crying. It just made me fall in love with weddings in general.
For myself, I would say destination wedding in DR was fun, but I have so many great memories of so many cousins getting married over the course of my life, like just smiles and laughter. Aww. And cheer. There were big family reunions around, you know, the veil of the wedding. So it was just,
yeah.
And so many good memories that there's nothing that stands out as my favorite.
Yeah, pick a favorite.
No, it was just beautiful times with family.
I don't know. I've been to a lot of weddings. I guess when I was Johnny's age, I hadn't been to a lot of weddings either. What are you, 28?
Yeah.
I might have been to maybe two weddings, I guess, at that point. Okay, yeah. So now I'll give you a little reprieve.
You get
the size of my family? I've been to dozens of weddings by 28.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, different cultures.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't go a lot of weddings, and certainly not a lot of big, elaborate
big weddings. Thank you, because I do remember my mom getting married in our living room.
Oh, yes. There we go.
To my stepdad. That one's a close second. I remember. Yeah, close, a good second one, but I wouldn't say my favorite by a long shot. That's not my favorite. I have more to experience in life, but.
I guess, I have to say my wedding was probably my favorite wedding I've ever been to. I mean, not just because it was my wedding, but like we were just saying, I hadn't really been to a lot of elaborate weddings. I've been to some weddings and you go to little halls, concert halls or whatever, and they're nice. But our wedding, we did outdoors. Venue was gorgeous. We had quartet people were waiting for us. So we had a quartet playing and we made sure that they were playing very modern music. Right. And then
got back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
As a quartet, it's really cool.
We literally had a playlist for them, and then a string quartet, by the way, it was all string. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's even better. I thought it was like the people singing. Okay.
We did our intro. We did a choreographed dance for our first dance.
Yeah, oh my gosh. You guys had a real wedding.
Of course you did.
Of course.
It was beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. The day was gorgeous. The day was gorgeous. The venue was gorgeous. The flowers. I haven't seen a better wedding than that. We even had, when we did the introductions for the reception, we had a trumpeter playing Omi's Cheerleader. You know that song, Cheerleader?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
I can't
remember. Yeah, I'm not going to try to sing it.
I
know what you're talking about.
But yeah,
and
we came in doing the New Orleans line. She had the umbrella. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, so you guys had like a real like event. Like it feels like performance. That's fun.
It was off the chain. And I don't dance, as you guys know. I don't dance for anything.
I've heard you've got a pretty good two-step.
I don't even have that. It's not that good.
You got rhythm, Neo.
Not that good. Yeah, ask my wife. Is it okay? You know, I can.
she makes up for the dancing. She has the rhythm of the two.
Right. All right.
That's so funny.
Let's get into this topic on marriage. So, Gianni, why don't you start us off?
Yes. So, this topic actually has been one that me and my friends talk about because we're getting to that age and we kind of look around and see our peers are usually on two different sides of the millennial spectrum, so to speak. They're either married with kids or without kids and they're super career driven and independent, which made me realize, depending on what side of society you fall on, we tend to focus more on independence in this generation. We kind of now seem to value personal growth, you know, our careers over the traditional lifestyle than marriage. I have other things I want to get into about this topic. I do want to know, marriage is going to be a thing of the past in about 50 years. Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans?
50 years. I'm going to go with shenanigans.
On the fence.
I'm on the fence a little bit because, you know, I appreciate marriage. The marriage I'm in, I don't know if you guys are aware, I've been married before. So.
Oh, I didn't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. So I've been married before and my second, and it has been phenomenal. And after my first marriage, I had written off marriage altogether. I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to be married again. What is the point in being married? Because it's just paper contract. That's all it is, right? You're just writing a contract. It's just legal. I can have a committed, long-standing relationship without doing the whole marriage thing, because it took me 3 years to get a divorce. And it was so challenging.
What? And
yeah, it took forever. It doesn't take that long now these days because I think to your point, Gianni, they're trying to make it easier for people to get in and out of marriages, which makes the contract less valuable too, actually.
You know, yeah, you it kind of it. Like diminishes mm-hmm. the point, mm-hmm. like because you're not supposed to really.
If you can get out with no problem, it takes you less than 3 years to get out. You know, then you know,
try
no
to work problem. It out.
You're lucky, my friend.
Yeah, I have a friend.
Problem if you're
if it's easy. Yeah,
I have a friend that got separated, and then I think they were divorced within 6 months or 6 or 7 or around there. And so, yeah, I think marriage has been devalued over time. To answer your question directly, I don't think it's going to go away. It's just been so institutionalized. But I think we are moving away from the connections that marriage builds. I think the purpose of marriage is going away. We're building families and things like that. I'm curious, Rob, what do you think?
Yeah, I guess I'm more shenanigans as well with Neo on marriage.
Okay.
Really appreciate what you had to share there, Neo. Because if we look at the institution of marriage, historically, it hasn't been a necessarily romantic venture. It was someone's grandfather hiking up the country road, going to someone's door saying, "Hey, I hear you have a daughter of marrying age, and I'm a hardworking young lad. I'm very interested. Hey, well, let's get our families together and see what we can do." It's, you know, there was that impetus because that's what the drive was. So I agree there have been some changes in society, Johnny.
Yeah.
But I think that one of the big issues is in media, marriage has been romanticized. It's created an ideal of what marriage should be.
Yeah.
And because of this unrealistic ideal that's been created, we see a lot more marriages failing because I wasn't getting X from my partner. I wasn't getting Y from my partner. The expectation is so lofty.
When you're watching movies and TV.
Exactly. Hollywood and TV isn't real life. I mean, don't expect this kind of stuff.
Is that for this generation? Like our generation? What generation are we talking about? Or in general, you feel like nowadays?
I'm saying as a society, I'm saying that this is a factor that contributes to marriage's fail.
I mean, when you think about the romantic comedies and the movies and all that stuff, I honestly thought that marriage was supposed to be like that in my first one. And I was like,
that's true.
It was shocking to me that it wasn't like that. I'm like, what the hell is wrong? I mean, what's wrong with you? You know, I was always pointing the finger. Well, not always.
Watch Married with Children. That might be a little bit closer measure.
That was probably closer, right? Who realized that? Because we're kids and we're just impressionable. And, you know, we think it's supposed to be some fairy tale fantasy. And initially, it usually is, right?
And it's an industry, Neo. It's an industry that sells. And who are the highest consumers in our society? Women. So they market to that demographic. So the idea of a story-tailed wedding is so outdated, outmoded, and so impractical.
A fairy tale wedding or fairy tale marriage?
Marriage.
Fairy tale wedding. No, I'm talking about the fairy tale.
Like the big extravagant, woman's
like what I spent on my
what Neo just went through.
No, I'm sure it was, Neo, but it sounds like a beautiful day and it sounds like it was exactly to your specifications. But, you know, when people start inviting 350, 500 people to a wedding and it's in this massive.
There's whole TV shows about those type of weddings. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that's absolutely ridiculous. And there's an expectation. So that helps devalue marriage as an institution because nobody can deliver on those expectations.
You think that you're on the fence, though, about marriage being a thing of the past in 50 years. So what makes you think it'll stay?
Yeah. Because there are still benefits to marriage, very practical benefits, even just medical benefits, health benefits, tax breaks, incentives, the ability to grow your finances together, which you can do if you're married or not, because Joe and I wear rings very symbolically. Yeah. We were both previously married. Marriages that did not end well. There's definitely some chaos at the end of both of those previous relationships for us. And like Neil was saying, we don't see the value in getting married because we cohabitate on paper. She's my beneficiary. I'm her beneficiary. I get benefits from her employer. She gets benefits from mine. We're in a mortgage together.
Okay.
We are 100% committed to one another without the pomp and ceremony.
And the
people crave commitment. Yeah.
And the people crave
connection.
The liability.
Legally, we're locked in just as a married couple would be locked in. We're 10 years in. We've shared all of our marital assets. We are married.
It's so cute.
We haven't had the ceremony. Yeah. We're very much in love. And
I'll be there when you guys have it. Me and
you. Does that mean that you are technically married?
Right.
Technically.
Without the paperwork, right? So, Gianni, does Rob B's situation, his relationship, out as far as your question goes?
I think yes and no, because to me, honestly, I think that spiritually and emotionally, yes, they are married. But I think physically and legally, no.
Okay. But
Johnny, if she and I were going to court, I promise you that the eyes of the man would see us as married. I promise you.
Because of the length of time?
The direct opposite. Because if I were to go to a church official, they would not recognize my union, but a town clerk, a city clerk would absolutely recognize her union. The tax man would recognize her union. The church official won't.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, there's something called common law marriage.
I've heard of common law marriage.
I think they're kind of getting rid of common law marriage, but there are still some laws in certain states in the U.S. around common law marriage, where if you've been together long enough that you are common law married, but I don't think that's in every state and I don't think it's consistent. So this is similar. So that's why I was asking Johnny if Rob B's situation counts.
To me,
you say,
yes.
Okay. So Rob B is married.
The reason I say that is because him and Joe have like the foundations of what a marriage is. I don't think a marriage just is paperwork.
So do this then, define marriage for us. As your question goes, what is marriage? So you're saying marriage, meaning people staying together for an extended period of time. That's what I'm trying to understand. What do you mean by marriage? Because when you say it's not going to look the same in 50 years, what are we talking about? We're not going to sign the paper. We're not going to.
Is it going to be more me and Joe's, or is it going to be more Neil's and Mel?
Or is it going to be more Gianni's?
Or me's?
Who have no.
Nobody.
No committed relationship.
Just me and my dog. Just say it.
Go from one person to the other whenever you know you feel the sense. I'm not trying to say it like that. But I'm saying when you find somebody you like, you stay with them for a little while, you know, and then when they when you're not happy anymore, you like get out of here, you know. Whereas with marriage, you have to kind of like stick with it, right? You go through some tough times.
Make it work. And ups and downs.
You go through tough times in marriage. And that was part of the reason why it was so hard to get a divorce, because they understand that you're going to go through tough times, kind of force you to try to figure it out before you really commit to getting out of the marriage. And that's why it was so hard for me to get a divorce when I got one, because they wanted
to
make sure.
You have to be legally separated for 1 year.
We had to, too.
A divorce is granted.
Yeah. And we couldn't even file for divorce if we weren't separated for 1 year. So just to kind of give you time to figure it out. But if you have a relationship, as soon as things go sour, you can be like, I'm out. And so which one is marriage to you? Where does marriage start and end for you, Gianni?
Okay. I think marriage to me isn't just the paperwork. I recognize that the paperwork and the legality of things is marriage, but I believe marriage was founded on a spiritual principle. I'll say it again. I don't mean religious doctrine, but I do mean spiritual, meaning I'm going to use an example because I think of like my grandparents' marriage, which marriage to me is two people coming together to basically help each other and to do life together. like kind of just in simple terms.
So, so basically, Rob B situation.
Pair bonding for life.
Rob's situation and Neo's situation. Choosing to pair bond for life, choosing to build a family, a legacy. That's what marriage is to me.
So, I think marriage is... So Rob is the minimum. So if you're on a spectrum, let's say a spectrum. Rob is the minimum, and then I would be like maximum, and then everything below Rob is not marriage, right?
No, I think you guys would be on the same. I just think yours is recognized by the court, like by society, because you
that's
have
fair. That's fair.
Marriage certificate. But I think both of you guys would be the same in my eyes. I both recognize you guys as married men. The thing is, though, I think in the next 50 years, that's not going to be a thing, like bonding with each other, like man and woman. Mm-hmm. But I just think that that's not going to be a thing. People are not going to agree, hey, let's build this legacy. Let's buy this plot of land. Let's feed our children. Let's have 10 kids. Like, I don't think that is that concept is going to be a thing. Marriage as like the license and stuff may still be in our society. I think so. Yes. But the concept of marriage.
So what is it going to
be? Living spaces. Sugar babies and players, girls as men. I just feel like it's confusing society and our roles. We're getting on a different. I just feel like it's confusing.
We need to talk about some roles, but
we do.
But you're saying that the future is hooking up. Every good relationship has those honeymoon phases, right? In the beginning, where you know the first 3, 4, 5 months, year, whatever. Yeah. Everything's beautiful. Good. Everything's wonderful. You love each other. You're having sex every day. You Perfect. 3 times a day. And you know, you just, this is just the
best. 3 times.
I don't know what y'all do. No, I'm just kidding. What
different honeymoon phase.
But what I'm saying is, but what I'm saying is, you know, that time frame where everything is wonderful, you're saying everybody's going to experience that. And then, when you go through those times where, okay, now you got to really get to know each other. You got to figure some things out. You know, you got to understand each other. You got to kind of, like you say, cohabitate, figure out, hey, you know, do we want to stay together forever? Do we want a family? You know, what is this going to be? You're saying people that's the out. Time where people are probably going to start. No, that's not what I'm looking for. So lack of commitment, I guess, is what we're talking about.
Thank you. To Rob's point about romanticizing marriage, I think it shot marriage down. And just from my perspective in my age group, I know that women want men with money. That's always been the case first. But now it's like pushed. Now it's like, I don't need a man because I have my own money. Like completely, that is the mindset for real. Wait. Or you're married with kids. Like it's two really distinct extremes. So, I mean, of course, Johnny, there's like the outliers, but there's extremes.
So now I'm going back to your demographic, Johnny, and younger. Now, I know that there's been, like when you're saying, hey, I make my own money. I don't need no man. Now, the question is, you know, how is that money being made? Because I know that there are several avenues that have opened up in the last couple of years that really bring about some ethical questions about how the money is being made. And I know
how women use men.
OnlyFans is one of the avenues for making money. And like you said, they want money. They want the trifecta. They want
security.
Six figures, 6 feet, six pack, right? That's what they're looking
for. I like that.
But that's what they're looking for, right, John?
That's an evil number when you think about it. Oh, if you put it all together.
Six, six, six.
But that's what the ladies are looking for, right? They want a man who's six figures, 6 feet, six pack. Now, in Canada and the U.S., those figures represent about 1.5% of men, period. So the women are seeking this demographic of men.
Ideal.
And if she's making her own money, and more power to her, that's fantastic. But depending on the means, there's a shift in traditional values and in what tradition dictates. Yeah, like it does change the paradigm. To me, it's just interesting in that respect. So do you hear those conversations with your girlfriends?
I do. I think that I love my friends because I've had them for so long, but it makes me question my friend group. And I don't know if that's just a space I am in life or what it is, because I think our values are way different. I don't like to judge people, but I know where I'm going. So it's like, I don't know.
If you're chasing unicorns, anything else that you catch is below a unicorn and you feel like you're settling.
Yeah.
What are you actually bringing to the table?
The table.
Are you,
And then they have this thing where their women are saying, now I am the table.
Yeah, I don't know. What does that mean?
Objects.
What is that?
I know.
I've heard that funny. I am the table.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a table's job is to sit in the kitchen and present food. Okay.
Yeah. So
is that what you're doing? No, I am the table. No, tell me what value you have. Tell me about your drive and ambitions. Not that I deserve this by virtue of existing. No, you earn your potential to be considered by the unicorn. Because if someone's at the upper echelon, you know exactly what you're looking for and you're not going to settle. So for someone who's average to say that I am worthy of this, then looks at the average guy and says, well, they're beneath me. And that's, there's been a shift in societal values there. Yeah.
I agree with that.
I think it really goes back to what Rob B was saying early on, is this romanticization of marriage and what it looks like and what it should look like. I think in recent times, it has been more realistic in movies because we've seen more movies, more TV shows where they kind of let you see that there are problems, that there are difficulties in marriage and then things that you have to kind of get by. But even then, still romanticized because most people don't just figure it out on their own. It takes a lot of talk, a lot of patience, a lot of being better in a marriage. My first time around, I struggled to understand what was needed to be a good husband.
Yep.
You were still young or it was just you had an idea of what,
It had to do with lack of knowledge. I grew up in a rough environment where, yes, my parents stayed together. Matter of fact, they're literally still married, but separated. They're like in their 80s. They haven't lived together for like 20 years, but they're still married, right? Legally.
Oh.
Not spiritually, Giotti.
I love it.
But with that being said, the first time around, I had to learn a lot about myself. I learned a lot about marriage itself and what it takes. I learned what I needed to do better.
Are these lessons that you were learning through the course of marriage or lessons that were really
like life lessons
through the painful separation and divorce?
Good question. After the marriage, after the divorce, I had to look at myself and I had to look at what I needed. Was I getting what I needed? Was I doing what I needed to do to get what I needed? I had to understand the difficulties, the things that I did wrong, things I did right. And then I had to understand that marriage is not easy.
It looks easy on the outside. Yeah.
You know, when you grow up in a rough situation, you learn how to communicate that way. I mean, that's how you learn to communicate. And it wasn't a healthy communication.
And your bar for what's acceptable in a relationship is set very low.
Low, right? So I communicated the way I knew, which was what I saw growing up, which was not healthy. And so I brought that into my first one. Now, once I got out of that and I could look from a different lens, right? And say, you know, these are the mistakes I made. Then I could go to the next one, which one, I knew what I was looking for.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted to do better. I knew what I wanted to try and do better and improve on and some of the things about myself that I needed to work on. And I worked on those things. And now in this relationship, I am way better. I'm a better husband. I'm a better person. Not to mention the person I'm
with.
You
got it right.
Right, exactly. And not to mention the person I'm with is good for me. I found what I needed. I understood what I needed. And so I got there. So when we talk about all these kids, this Gen Z generation just going from one to the other, not understanding, you got to learn from those. You got to learn from that experience.
Thank you.
Do a long-term relationship that may not work out, but you learn from it so that when you find the one, you know what you're looking for. And then you go into it. Cause after my first one, I had written off marriage altogether. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this marriage thing. This is stupid.
A lot of people feel that way.
And then I found the right one and I was like, I was ready immediately.
And see, reflection, Neil, I think what's really important is,
well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this episode. I know you want to hear the rest, so make sure you subscribe so you can listen to part two, learn more life lessons from marriage, and feel free to join the debate. Go to podznetwork.com. Leave a comment. Let us know what you thought about this episode. And I thank the co-hosts, Robbie, Gianni Storm. Of course, we've got to thank you for listening to our shenanigans. Talk to you next week.